The Fetzer Broadcasting Company presents Western Michigan at Work. Each Tuesday evening, the Fetzer Broadcasting Company brings you the story of one of the business enterprises, industries, or professions where you will find Western Michigan at work. Tonight we will visit the Grand Front Western Railroad, one of the several railroads serving Western Michigan. Now, here is your guide, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
Good evening. The Grand Trunk Railway System, as it operates today, is the result of local enterprise combined with planning for an international transportation system. Within Michigan, the first railroad incorporated in this state or in the Old Northwest, the line from Detroit to Pontiac is now a part of the Grand Trunk. It received its charter in the year 1830 as the Detroit and Pontiac Railway. That little railroad, plus many other stretches of line, originally built through local enterprise, now are embraced within the Grand Trunk system. In the 1860s, a group of Battle Creek citizens decided that that city needed better north and south transportation. This resulted in 1865 in the Peninsular Railway, running from Battle Creek to Lansing. Then in 1868, the Peninsular Railway Extension Company was formed to build from Battle Creek to the Michigan-Indiana line. The two roads were consolidated that same year, and in 1870 combined with two other roads of the same name in Indiana and Illinois to obtain an entrance into Chicago. Now about that same time, a road had been built from Lansing to Port Huron. And meanwhile, the Grand Trunk had been expanding in Canada and had established a through route from Portland, Maine to Sarnia, Ontario, just across the St. Clair River from Port Huron. Cars were ferried across the river, then traveled down to Detroit, and then to Chicago by way of the Michigan Central. Well, naturally, the Grand Trunk wanted to obtain its own route into Detroit, and it accomplished this in 1878 by purchasing the road from Port Huron to Lansing, and then the various peninsular roads which had been built from Lansing on to Chicago. Subsequent acquisitions gave the Grand Trunk other rails in Michigan. It acquired a line from Detroit to Grand Haven and Milwaukee, of which the old Detroit and Pontiac was one segment. This line had been completed in 1858, and two large steamships had been built to connect the line at Grand Haven with Milwaukee. Lines connecting with Jackson and the Thumb District of Michigan, as well as one running east and west through central Michigan, north of the Detroit-Grand Haven line, were obtained. A stretch of 11 miles of track, originally constructed as part of the old Chicago, Kalamazoo, and Saginaw Railroad, or the CK&S, were also taken over by the Grand Trunk, thereby connecting Kalamazoo with the main line of the railroad at Pavilion. In the year 1923, the Grand Trunk Western Railroad was incorporated in the state of Michigan and took over all the independent units that comprised the Grand Trunk Railway. The corporate structure was greatly simplified in 1929 when most of the lines were merged into the Grand Trunk Western Railroad Company. This company at the present time operates just under 1,000 miles of lines in the state of Michigan. The line from Port Huron through Flint, Lansing, Battle Creek, Cassopolis, and South Bend to Chicago is double-tracked. Over this line, fast freights and passenger trains operate daily. They pass over into Canada from Port Huron to Sarnia through a tunnel opened for traffic in 1891. And that, by the way, was the first international submarine railroad tunnel. The daily manifest freights of the Grand Trunk have been in continuous service since 1898, giving quick access to New England and Western markets and manufacturing centers. The daily passenger trains, the International Limited, the Maple Leaf, and the Intercity Limited, provide fast and convenient service between Chicago and the principal Canadian cities. The Grand Trunk was a pioneer in international service, establishing in 1896 a solid Pullman train from Chicago to Niagara Falls that was called the finest passenger train in the world. Here are a few facts that may interest you about the operation of the Grand Trunk Western. It employs about 8,000 people. 1,200 of these work in the locomotive shops, roundhouse, and station at Battle Creek. That city is the headquarters of the General Superintendent of Motive Power and Car Equipment, the Division Superintendent, the General Storekeeper, the Chief Dispatcher, and other offices. The locomotive shops were established at Battle Creek in 1907. The shop workers maintain a total of 185 engines over there, of which 155 are steam-operated and 30 are diesel. Nichols Yards at Battle Creek constitutes a large classification yards for all trains operating through the city. The Grand Trunk Western handled over 1.5 million passengers in 1945 and derived about 12% of its revenue in that year from passengers, while 88% came from freight. The company owns 128 passenger car units. Its total revenues amounted to about $50 million in the year 1947. But because of mounting costs for labor and materials, there was a net deficit for that year. And incidentally, I'd like to tell our listeners that one of the oldest directors of the road was Frank E. McAllister of Kalamazoo.
I've been working on the railroad all the livelong day. I've been working on the railroad to pass the time away. Hear the whistle blowing, rise up so early in the morn. Don't you hear the captain shouting, line up, blow your horn. Don't you hear the captain shouting, Dinah, blow your horn, blow horn.
Yes, we've all sung I've Been Working on the Railroad, but not many of us actually have done so. The other day, I had a talk with a man who has been working on the railroad a long, long time. He's Mr. Louis Einhart, a Grand Trunk freight train conductor of Battle Creek. Here is a recording of my interview with him in Battle Creek yesterday. Mr. Einhart, how many years have you been with the Grand Trunk?
37 years.
All that time as a conductor?
There, 4 years as a conductor, 4 years as a brakeman, and 33 years as a conductor.
Mm-hmm. That's a freight train conductor.
As a freight train conductor.
Now, I understand that you're going to take over a train here in Battle Creek today. Where is that train that you're going to take over bound for?
For Chicago.
And how many cars will it include?
65.
Around 65. Have you any idea what those cars might contain?
Manifest freight, auto parts, paper, merchandise, stock.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what manifest freight is, Mr. Einhart?
Manifest freight is freight to be forwarded faster than a dead freight train.
And that pays especially, that is higher freight rate, is that
it
true?
It does.
Mm-hmm. Now, I suppose you ride in the caboose.
I do.
Can you ride any other place on the train, that is a conductor?
The conductor can ride any place his best judgment calls for.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes in the engine, if necessary?
Yes, sir.
You have that caboose fixed up pretty comfortably?
We do.
Do you have the same caboose on every run?
Yes, we do.
So you can leave your own things in there?
Yes, sir.
Can you do any cooking on the caboose?
Yes, we can.
What do you do?
We make a pot of coffee on our trips.
I've heard about these famous mulligan stews they make on the caboose of freight trains. Is that more or less fiction?
No, it is not. We used to do that on longer hours.
I see. Tell me, please, the nature of your duties after you take this train over until you get to the end of your run.
I make a record of all the cars in my train and forward it to Chicago stations so that they will know the connections that we have.
And you have complete charge of the train's operation?
Yes, sir.
Where's your home, Mr. Einhart?
At Battle Creek, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. How many days are you off and how many are you on duty?
I work 20 days and off 10 days.
In each month?
Yes, sir.
What's the speed of one of these fast freight trains.
Between 55 and 65 miles per hour.
Now, you leave here in Battle Creek about 12:30 this noon, I believe you told me, and when do you get to Chicago?
About 5:30, 6 o'clock.
I see. Well, thank you, Mr. Einhart, for telling us about your work as a conductor on the Grand Trunk.
And now we have with us in our studio this evening one of the senior officials of the Grand Trunk Western, Mr. Frank R. Locke, who is the industrial commissioner, comes from Detroit. Just what is the industrial department of a railroad, Mr. Locke?
Considered as one of the major operations of the Grand Trunk Western Railroad is their industrial department, which was created for the purpose of cooperating with communities in which the rails serve and the industrial development of those communities. By endeavoring to interest producers, manufacturers, and any other line of industry that will provide employment, traffic, etc. The Grand Trunk Western Industrial Department keep an up-to-date record of all vacant properties, plants, etc. And a comprehensive survey is made periodically of all industrial properties considered available and suited for industrial use. We keep in close contact with civic officials, making town plans and town surveys, boards of commerce and trades, in cooperation with industrial real estate brokers. The industrial department, upon securing a lead or an inquiry, work with the industry from the first contact until they're actually located.
Well now, Mr. Locke, do the inquiries which you receive usually come from the industries?
Yes, they usually come that way, but through agents and various boards of commerce. But
what do you mean by an agent?
A broker, usually a real estate broker.
I see. Now, just how do you go about it to follow up such an inquiry?
Knowing the requirements of the firm, we furnish a list of available properties, buildings, and the necessary data pertaining to labor, power, utilities, such as water and drainage. We also indicate how the property can be served with sidetrack facilities. Unless a specific town is mentioned, we furnish particulars of all properties considerable suitable in the cities and towns served by the railroad.
And then what's the next step after that?
We follow up with a personal call to provide any additional information the firm may desire.
Well, now, Mr. Locke, what role does the local Chamber of Commerce or Board of Trade play in this?
They're contacted almost immediately and brought into the picture to offer further assistance and information that will be helpful toward having such an industry located in their town.
After the firm has made its decision, do you have any further responsibility that is in your department, Mr. Locke?
Yes, we contact our engineering and operating department and work out the best manner in which the property can be served with track facilities. Estimates of the cost of this work are compiled, plans submitted, and agreements drafted.
Mr. Locke, is industry moving into Michigan or out of Michigan these days?
I would say that industry is moving into Michigan.
Why is that?
To be closer to the source of production. Take, for instance, the automobile industry. Small parts and various items used in automobile manufacture can be made more advantageously close to the points where automobiles are assembled. Warehouses are being established also, so that distribution can be more easily arranged. Michigan is very centrally located between two great markets, Detroit and Chicago, and that's another advantage.
What are some of the chief Michigan products which your railroad carries?
Automobiles, food products, agricultural implements, machinery, motors, furniture, oil, paper, stoves, and furnaces. These are among the chief items.
Thank you, Mr. Locke, for being with us. And that brings to a close our story of the Grand Trunk Western. Now, back to your announcer.
You have been listening to Western Michigan at Work, featuring tonight the story of the Grand Trunk Western Railroad. Be with us again next Tuesday evening at the same time when we will visit the Post Products Company of Battle Creek. This has been another program presented in the public interest by the Fetzer Broadcasting Company. WKZO on the Vertico Hotel, Kalamazoo.